Isaiah chapter 40 from the beginning. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. We will consider these words as the Lord enables us this day. From chapter 40 of this prophecy to the end, the prophet, through the inspiration of God, is endeavouring to comfort his people, the people of God, who are going into captivity. And it is believed that these words from chapter 40 to the end of the book were written just prior to the people of God going into captivity in Babylon. And he's telling them to be comforted in their captivity. But he also takes comfort from it himself too, because God's people had refused to obey him in the past, and they were receiving God's judgment for refusing to obey him. Nevertheless, he took comfort in the promise of a forerunner and in the coming of the Messiah to bring redemption to his own people. And in that regard, this prophecy belongs not only to them in Isaiah's time, but even more so to ourselves today, that in spite of the judgment of God coming upon us for our refusals to obey the Lord and to obey his servants, nevertheless, he brings the comfort of redemption, ultimate redemption for his folk. And I want to consider with you, first of all, a free pardon. A free pardon. The people of God at this time were ripening for God's judgment upon them. But the prophet exhorts them to be comforted even before they went into captivity. And this was to be the direction that the prophet was now to take with the people of God. Prior to this, the first 39 chapters are taken up with God's judgment upon his people. But now, the whole atmosphere changes, and from here on to the end, there is this comfort to be proclaimed to the people just before they go into captivity, and this comfort is to carry on in the midst of their affliction whilst they are in captivity. Now they went into captivity for their sins. For their sins. And that was a sore affliction for them. And what is it that we tend to think of ourselves and have brought before our minds in our own afflictions? What is it that generally comes before our minds? Well, it's our sins, our past sins. And so the prophet gives the people of God the promise of the gospel at the beginning of this chapter. He brings them the comfort that the gospel gives us from the God of all comfort. This comfort is not to be limited to those going into captivity, but also to ourselves, because the prophet is commanded to speak ye comfortably in verse 2. Speak ye comfortably. And to speak comfortably here means to speak to the heart. To speak to the heart of the people. This is God's people. And he is being instructed by God to speak to your heart, who often feels so troubled on account of their sinful past. That psalm that we sung, Psalm 25. The psalmist is troubled now at a later stage in his life by the sins of his youth, and it troubles his heart greatly to be reminded of the sins of his youth. And many of the Lord's people feel that they can only mourn all day long over the sins of their youth. Well, the prophet exhorts us here to entertain better hopes, to take their eyes away from themselves, and to look by faith to your God. Notice that in verse 1. And that again at the end of verse 9. Your God, verse 1. Behold your God, verse 9. This is their God. And all the Old Testament prophets looked by faith to the one who was to come. Oppressed as they often were in their own day by their own sins. But rather than dwell on them, as the Lord's people are so often apt to do, there is cause for the mourners to take comfort, because your God has come in the flesh. Your God has come in the flesh. He has come as the federal head and representative of his people. I know of no other of God's creatures who do not obey their Maker. They all live for the purpose for which God created them. Think of the sheep. In the fields, these animals, they live for the purpose for which they were created by God. And in doing so, they do service to him as well as to man. Same with the fish in the sea. same with the moon and the stars and the sun. All these creatures are there fulfilling the purpose for which God put them there. The only ones that don't obey their maker is fallen man himself. Isaiah has already brought this out for us in chapter 1 of this prophecy. And he rebuked them for it in that chapter when he tells them, the ox knoweth its master, and the ass his master's crib. But my people do not know. They do not consider. And so it is with us as sinners of mankind. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as a man for sinners of mankind. And the wonderment of the words of John in chapter 1 come before us when he says that the Word was made flesh. Paul again can hardly express his admiration at the thought of it. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and he is held out to his people as their God. And he is held out to you, child of God, as your comfort. And he speaks comfortably to the heart through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is what he says to his people. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And the word thee is always singular. It's not speaking to a group. It's speaking to you personally. You remember when David committed adultery and murder and was greatly troubled in his heart when he was convicted of it? He sought the sprinkling of the hyssop in Psalm 51 so that he may be made to hear joy and gladness. Now, where do we usually hear these things? Joy and gladness. Well, it's not likely to be an audible voice just coming out of the sky. Joy and gladness is likely to be heard in the heart. Not outwardly, but inwardly in the heart. Thy sins be forgiven thee, David. And that brings joy to the hearts of God's people. Now that joy comes as a result of pardon. Notice that here. We've got it here in verse 2. That her iniquity is pardoned. This is Jerusalem's iniquity. Jerusalem's iniquity at the beginning of verse 2. Now, Jerusalem is the church. Jerusalem is the people of God. The church is made up of individuals like you and I here today. And this is why the Word became flesh for the likes of us. The eternal Word didn't come to save anyone but those who are of the same nature as he took upon himself. He didn't come for angels. He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took hold of the nature of man, because these are the ones that he came to save by taking their sins upon his own body to and on the tree. He bears the punishment for these sins, the punishment that these sins deserved, so that I can speak comfortably to you, child of God, here today. I can speak comfortably to you on the authority of God's word, that supposing your sins, like David's, are more than the hairs upon your head, the punishment for your sins will never be yours. Never, ever be yours. He, having taken that punishment to the full, and by that I mean his sufferings were the sufferings of an infinite person, being the punishment of an infinite evil, which is sin. And so his people have a free pardon from all their sins. Now how can you know, and how can I know here today, that I have a free pardon? Well, you now see how your own sins have cost him dearly. He gave himself up not to be spared. In other words, no expense was spared to save sinners from the punishment that they deserve. And now they look upon him as the one who gave himself for them. And you can know that you have a free pardon when you consider how your sins have caused so much anguish for him, so that this works in such a way that you don't feel anymore that you have a license to sin. That you have a license to sin. And that's how you can know that you are freely pardoned from your sins. When you look upon him whom you have pierced and mourn for him, mourning the fact that your sins and mine caused him such grief. And when it causes you such a sense of shame and humiliation, you then can know that what he did for you. And so you have a free pardon. You have a free pardon. But then, secondly, we also have a highway to heaven. A highway to heaven. I'm thinking of verse 3 here at the moment. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. The fulfillment of these words was firstly in the return of the people of God from their captivity in Babylon back to Judah. It was very rough, and it was a dangerous journey. A very dangerous journey indeed, as well as a very long and demanding journey for the exiles returning back home. But this way is prepared not so much for the returning exiles, but for the Lord himself. In verse 3, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Jehovah. Jehovah. And as you know, the ultimate fulfillment of this, of course, was with respect to John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he prepares the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the coming of the royalty of heaven. When our late Queen last visited Lewis, there was a great preparation made for her coming. Everything that could possibly be thought of doing was attended to immediately. Well, John the Baptist put so much preparation into making everything ready for this coming king. And his preparation was not so much to do with matters of making roads smooth, and not so much to do with making meals and preparing hospitality for the coming king, but with respect to his doctrine. With respect to his doctrine, that's the preparation that was undertaken for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you remember that his disciples were prone to expect the Saviour's coming to be a temporal kingdom here on earth. And John the Baptist had to change the minds of the people at that time to get them away from the idea of some temporal earthly kingdom and to get them onto the idea of believing that his kingdom was not of this world at all, as he himself said. And so he taught them repentance in order to prepare them for his coming and to change their minds, not to think of him as an earthly king, but as a heavenly king with a heavenly kingdom. And what we are thinking of now is not just a way, but a highway to the heavenly kingdom. A highway to the heavenly kingdom. That's what we're thinking of here. And that highway is from the wilderness of this world all the way to heaven. It's not just our road back to Judah that we are talking about, rough and dangerous as that was for them. This is the highway to heaven. Perhaps we could call it a motorway, or an autobahn. In Germany and countries like that, they have huge autobahns, huge motorways, where there are no hills and no valleys, where there are long stretches of clear, straight road. And that's what we've got here in verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. In other words, the road here is levelled, completely levelled. A valley is exalted so that it becomes level with the rest. And the mountain is brought low in order also to be level with the rest. We've got a long, clear highway here on the motorway to heaven. on the motorway to heaven. I'm sure you've all travelled across the hill road from Struan to Portree. It has very steep hills and very low valleys. And when you're in the valley, you cannot see very far ahead of you at all. You have to get up onto the high in order to see some distance ahead of you. Well, what we've got here is a clear, straight, smooth road, and it leads all the way to heaven. Your destination is clearly marked out before you. Now, that's true of the Lord's people, all of them. As they follow behind the captain of their salvation, who is the breaker up of a way, that is true of them. He makes their destination clear before them, and the destination is not just possible, but absolutely certain. Now here we are, at the start of another new year, 2023. I suppose we've all reverently asked in our own hearts and in our own minds, what has it got in store for me? How much will I see of this new year? I think even the youngest ask these kind of questions. But remember this, my dear Christian friends. Whatever else this year has for you and for me, you are on the highway to heaven. It is the Lord's way. He has prepared it for his people by clearing the way before them and making it smooth for them. Because his people are travellers. They're travellers. And there's great comfort for travellers when they know the way is being prepared for them. Your way, individually here today, your way is being prepared for you. You be sure of that, and you take comfort from it, however difficult you might feel the way is for you. And let us speak comfortably one to another at the start of this new year, speaking to each other's hearts about these things. It's very necessary in a day of so much that causes us dismay. You lift up the banner of the comfort of the gospel with your fellow believers, and you sing the praises of the Lord, that you are in the way through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. That's how you and I are to approach this new year. But thirdly and finally, and just very briefly, I want to consider with you now back in verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. See how personal this is for you and for me. My people and your God. This is the God of eternity, who enters into covenant with poor, wretched, miserable sinners like you and I. But even although they are that, He is still their God. And they are still his people. It was no easy thing for the covenant people of God to be in captivity in Babylon. It was very difficult for them. We read here in verse 2 again that her warfare is accomplished. It was a warfare for them going into Babylon. They faced many difficulties in captivity. And so do we, because life is never easy for us. How often do you say that it's a battle? Life is a battle, and so it is. But another mark of being on and in the way, the highway to heaven, is that you are conscious of the battle. That you and I are conscious of this battle. You're conscious of life being difficult. That's a battle. But there's another battle that you're conscious of too. And that battle is going on inside of you. As we know from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. Now, no one can be on the highway to heaven who does not feel this struggle, this battle, this warfare that is going on within inside of him and her. When I would do good, evil is present with me. What does that mean? Well, it means this. Every time you get the desire to pray, and you know what that desire feels like, you feel such a warming in coming to prayer. But then at the same time, you'll get something else coming to you to leave it for the moment and do it later on. Every desire to serve the Lord, you know yourself, you'll get something else that will tell you to go and serve yourself instead. Does that not prove us? There's always something easier that we can do. And we can leave the spiritual matters until later on. Oh, it's a warfare with our own sinful inclinations. A constant warfare. But there is a time limit on all our sufferings in this world. Her warfare is accomplished. Her warfare is accomplished. Yes. We're coming nearer that time as we've entered into this new year when our warfare will be accomplished. Israel's captivity, her warfare there was accomplished. It came to an end. There was a time limit of 70 years on that warfare. Oh, it might seem long. Your warfare in this world might seem long. But nevertheless, there is an appointed time for it to come to an end. And that time coming could either be with the Lord's coming to judge the world, or when we die. Either or, the time is appointed. We don't know the time, but the important thing for us to be is to be ready for when that time comes. Whether it is the Lord's coming that brings that appointed time, or whether it is your own death that brings that appointed time. All we are expected to be is to be ready, to be on our guard, to be watching over our own hearts, and to be taking comfort from the blood of Christ, who speaks peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not return to foolishness. What a comfort it is. What a comfort it is to be considering what Christ has done for us, so that we can never be punished. And what a comfort it is to know of this struggle going on, this warfare going on. It's a sure sign we are on the motorway, with a clear and open road in front of us, taking us to the haven that we have long desired to see. What a comfort that is for each and every one of us. Amen. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank thee for taking us together in this way at this time. We thank thee for all thy people. We pray that each one of them would know how precious he and she is in thy sight, and that thou dost break up the way before us, each one of us, so as to make the way clear and plain through Jesus Christ. Watch over each one of us this day, and be with us at all times throughout the day. Lead us in the way that we should go, following Christ, the captain of our salvation. Forgive our sins for his name's sake. Amen.